We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus is teaching his disciples what to expect at his return at the end of the age. Now, let me just say to you, if you want to have a strong, powerful, meaningful Christian walk, think about the end of the age. It's not about today. It's not about this week or this month or year. It's about when Jesus returns, how life will be then. And Jesus is for you. Jesus has paid the price. Jesus is teaching us how to walk with him. Jesus is full of mercy and love and forgiveness. And I want to encourage you today to receive that all and to understand that the love of God will keep you from things. But here we're going to read this parable starting here at verse 14. And as we read this, just to make certain that we're all on the same page as we come to certain parts, I'm going to mention when it says the man, who was the man? When it talks about the other things. So I'll just insert a couple things as we go. In verse 14, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man. The man here is Christ. Going on a journey. Christ, that journey is Christ's ascension. That's when he ascended into heaven after resurrection. And he's on that journey until he returns and comes back for us. Got that? That's what the journey is. Okay. And who called his servants. Now, realize these are his servants. These are people who have been called out of darkness. They're people who have shown some belief. They are committed to serve. They're his servants. And he entrusted his wealth to them. The gifts and graces of the Spirit must be exercised. And this is the trading of our talents. Trusted them to use them wisely. And so he entrusts his wealth to them. Now think about that. If you were asked to entrust your wealth to three people, who would you choose and how much confidence would you have? And if you gave them your wealth where they could make you or break you, and it doesn't say that that's the case here. But when it comes to the wealth here, the thing that he gave them was talents. Talents were weight or measures, and they were value. And they value a talent at 20 years. Now think about this. Minimum wage, whatever the minimum wage is, and I looked that up, and you take that and multiply that by 20 years. In Massachusetts today, that would be $530,400 for one talent. About $500,000, a little over $500,000. So we're not talking about chump change here. We're not talking about light matters. He gave them significant value and trusted them with it. So now, reading on in verse 15, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Repeat that with me, would you? Each according to his ability. Your service to Christ is about you and Christ. Your service to Christ is not about you and the person next to you. It's not about you and your spouse. It's not about you and your work associates. It's about you and Christ. And you have abilities that he has given you. You may not even know what they are, but you have them. He's given them to you, and he wants you to use those. And that's all he's going to keep you accountable for. And so you're not responsible to do as well as your neighbor or to work. You're responsible to know Christ. You're responsible to receive the gifts, understand the gifts, and walk your life out using those gifts so that you can, when Christ returns, you want to be able to give account for your gifts, and you want to be able to do that with great joy. The Apostle Paul told them to do certain things. He said that I might give a report with joy. And when we think about God and we think about the end of life and we think about whether he comes during our life or whether we die a natural death and see him in the future, all of that, we need to just be living right so we can do it with joy. Not living condemned, not living under unnecessary pressures and so on, but simply living for him so that we can be able to give account with joy. And so then he goes on his journey. Resurrection, ascension, and he'll come back from his journey when he comes to get the church. Verse 16, then the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time. Everybody say a long time. Say it with a long time. Sometimes it seems like it's a long time waiting for Jesus. You know, when you're having a mountaintop day, you'd like it then. Come now, Jesus. But it's a long time. And the Bible's clear about that. After a long time, the master of this servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, listen, you entrusted me. We all need to understand that we've been entrusted. And again, you've got gifts. God's given you things. God has expectations for your life. God wants you to be able to enjoy your life. And let me tell you, you will enjoy your life the more you understand how God created you. And one of the greatest freedoms in the world is to know that it's not in reference to anybody else. Come on. It's not in reference to, it's you and Christ. And when you live in relationship with him and you're using your gifts, you will feel like you're in sync. You'll just feel like you're in the groove. You still have problems. Life is full of problems, but you're able to have peace. You're able to work through those. You have confidence. God is with me. And so he's entrusted this to these people. And where was I? Okay, verse 20. He said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. Look at his master's reply. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. There it is, right there. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Church, person, when you get a little bit, take care of it. Use it wisely, because you ain't getting a whole lot more if you don't do something good with that. But if you take the few things that God's given you and you use them well, he'll say this to you. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22, then the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more, his master said to him. The exact same thing. There's not a word that's different. The guy with the 2 bags doubles his. What did the guy with the 5 bags do? He doubled his. What does that mean? It means each one of them had 100% increase. Each one of them took what they had, worked with it, and doubled it. And so God's praise for the person with 2 talents is the same praise it was for the guy with 5 talents. And he says the same things to him. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in a few things. And I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's joy. So both of them got the exact same reward. Verse 24, the man who had 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. I knew that you were a hard man. Now, this person starts off with a confession. That's not just a statement, that's a confession. Harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, think about this. First of all, his understanding of the master is that the master is a hard man. The other thing is that he understands that the master harvests where he hasn't sown. And he gathers where he hasn't scattered. In other words, he knows that the mind of the master is about increase. And so he knew all of these things. Now, notice this also. He did not misspend the master's money. He didn't embezzle the master's money or squander it. But he hid it. And this is the fear. This is the thing that we need to be careful that we don't allow to happen in our lives. Some people, they may be just so overwhelmed about the idea, the concept of Almighty God and holiness and so on, that they just fear that they could do anything right. And so they kind of clam up, shut down, close up, and don't do anything. And they think that, here's the error, they think that is a place of safety, and it's not. And that's what happens here. And in verse 26, his master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." Now that's contrasted. The other two were well done, good and faithful servants. And then look at verse 26. It says, "So you knew." The master's saying to him, "So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." Now look at the master's action here. And this is kind of rocking some people. This is kind of a shocking thing. We don't suspect that this would happen. But he says, "So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one that has 10 bags. That's the guy that had 5 and doubled it. He's got 10 bags. And so now the master's taking the one bag from the servant who's wicked and lazy and giving it to the servant that had 5 bags and now has 10. Well, why would he give it to him? Well, first of all, because he knows the 5-bag guy knows how to double the situation. Also, he knows he's a larger capacity guy than the 2-bag guy. Now, we're getting in here because now we're going to try to figure out what bag size am I. Anybody know your bag size? I'll help you with that here in a minute. A lot of us spent decades trying to figure that one out. But, hey, we've got 4 or 5 of them behind us. We've figured some things out now. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one, who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. And they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So that's what happens to the guy's bag. That's what happens to the lazy and slothful spirit that guides that kind of conduct. And then verse 30, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Other translations say, "And throw that unprofitable servant." We need to understand, no matter who you are, where you came from, what kind of family you didn't have or you do have, no matter what your situation, God has a place for you. He has a reward for you, and he wants you to have that. And so let's make no mistake about this parable. This is no history lesson, just a story from the past. Rather, it's a contemporary and prophetic lesson. It's for us today. It's intended to inspire us for faithfulness and for accountability now. Everybody say now. You got to live today, now. And everything about your Christian walk is about now. Because it doesn't matter what your big plans are, what your big ideas are, all of the things you want to do. You got to do now right. Because you may not get tomorrow if you don't. And so we just need to understand, Christianity is one day at a time. Notice now here that Jesus did not give titles to his parables. He just told the story to get the meaning across. But for referencing purposes, Bible publishers give titles to these. And Bible expositors give titles to these. In your New King James Version, it calls it the parable of the talents. Your New Living Translation calls it the parable of the three servants. And then your New International Version Bible would say the parable of the bags of gold. And then there's an expositor who calls it the used and unused talents. So what do you think? Let me ask you, how would you title this? It didn't have a title, and their titles don't matter. You need to understand, if it's not scripture, it doesn't matter. And when they put in those little subtitles, you get to decide whether you agree with that publisher or that expositor. Don't ever forget that. Don't take the titles and subheadings as scripture. They're not canonized. All right. But now, what do you think that the name of this parable should be? Well, is it more about people or more about prophets? It's about both, but I believe the name of it should be, as I've said, Parable of Faithfulness and Laziness. Because it's about what connects people to prophets. And it's about being faithful, or it's about being lazy or slothful. And we don't necessarily need to compare this, the word lazy, to, you know, laying around and non-physical activity. Laziness can be through initiative. And so this is how Jesus described this parable. You know, in verse 23, we read it, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful." But then in verse 26, "You wicked, lazy servant." So he separated them there. Now, faithfulness is the spirit that produces profit. Good is the attitude, habit, and outcome. Faithfulness is good. That goodness is its attitude, it's its habit, and it's its outcome. The faithful servants produced 100% each. Laziness is the spirit that reduces profit. Faithfulness produces. Laziness reduces profit. Wicked is its attitude, its habit, and its outcome. And the lazy servant was reduced 100%. You see how this is working? Totally opposite. And so this guy doesn't even keep what he had basic. His principal now is taken away because he didn't get any interest on it. Now, these are like profits and losses on a kingdom balance sheet. If you're a business person, you got that balance sheet, and man, that thing is telling you how your organization is functioning. And the master knew that his gifts should have brought profits. And he knew the losses were caused by laziness. He knew his servant had been controlled by fear. And we need to understand the power of fear. Fearfulness is the opposite of faithfulness. Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8 says, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful," everybody say the fearful. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." Fearful. The first time I'll never forget the first time I read that scripture decades ago. And I'm like, what? Fear gets classified with unbelieving and with murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and liars? That emotion of fear gets classed with that, and that emotion of fear could keep you out of heaven? I mean, verse 27 of that same chapter 21 says, but there shall by no means enter it, talking about heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so we need to understand that this parable, when it's talking about this person who is seized by fear, we can't let fear take control. We can't let fear have a place. And the way that we do that is we turn toward God. Faith cancels out fear. And so you build your faith. When you get afraid, you turn to God. And when you turn to God, I mean, you can act like a little child if you want to. Hey, I need to crawl up in your lap. Things are getting pretty tight out here. And, you know, have you noticed lately? You ever prayed like that? Have you noticed? The bags of gold were entrusted to his servants. He trusted them. He expected them to use them wisely. And it was according to each one of their ability. He knew what they could handle. He gave them what they could handle. Listen, he gave them what they could handle. What I'm saying is God's not giving you more than you can handle. You'll always think it's more than you can handle. Let me tell you, when God called me into the ministry, and then, now I went on staff in my home church that I had helped start many years before. Five couples, we started church. God used us, and he started the church. Let me get that straight. But he used us. That's like a grandfather taking little, toddlers along to do a job. Take him 10 times as long, but he loves the toddlers. And so just think about that. God takes you along. You're a whole lot of trouble to him, but it's worth it to him. So anyway, yeah. So when he called us to pastor, and so I go on staff with the church that we have there that's just abounding. We're in the Jesus movement and everything's great. Then he calls us up here. Here. And here was really here back then. I mean, that was a different world 35 years ago. And came here in a three-piece suit and a necktie. That tells you about how different it was. But anyway, but let me tell you, God believes in you. You just have trouble keeping up with God in that belief. And so what he's calling you and the gifts he's given you are bigger, and they create situations you never thought you'd see yourself in. But God has blessed. This church has been in Charisma Magazine. We've been introduced by Joel Osteen, by Hillsong Church, all these other places. But God's connected us. He's blessed us. He's caused us to thrive. When I look across here, I don't see people. I see miracles. Some of you have happened, and some of you are blooming, and you're ready. And so I just want to encourage you. This master knew their ability. And because he knew their ability, listen, and he gave them exactly what they could handle, what he knew they could handle, he left them with no excuse. We need to understand, God's not put you in a place that you can't do it. He's not put you in a situation that you can't handle it. Here's what he's done. He's put you in a place where you can't handle it without him. He's put you in a place where your situation demands more than you. And faithfulness connects you to what you need so that God can do what he intended to do. And when he returns, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Thank God. Jesus is coming back. But when he returns, we need to be able to have joy. We need to give account with pleasure and thankfulness. And so the master's trust made the gifts available to them. It made them responsible. It provided opportunity for them to profit, and it made them accountable. Today, he's given us gifts and individual abilities. Ephesians 4, verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And it lists seven gifts here. A lot of Christians don't even know these verses here. And if you don't, that's fine. But today you get to. And the point is, there's seven things here. And it says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. Means encouraging people. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, I can look across here and spot these gifts. In years past, whenever a crisis would arise in the church, there are certain ones of these gifts that are going to relate to that crisis in certain ways. There are some of them are going to need some stability, some encouragement, because they're so strong in a particular area. This is why we need each other. This is why we have a church. This is why we have leadership. And our abilities are not strictly exclusive. Hi, Terry. Here, I give Terry a hand. He's back. Thank you, Terry. Going into overdrive here now. But verse 5, the previous verse to what I just read. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And so we need to learn our gifts. Do you know your gifts? Do you have an idea? Do you know if you're a 1, 2, or 3, whatever? Well, starting next month, we're resuming dive-in classes. Just sign up for that at the desk in the lobby or online and get into a dive-in class. You'll learn all these things there. And it'll amaze you, and you'll feel more empowered, and you'll just feel like you've gotten more of a spiritual portrait of yourself. And so, are you a 1, are you a 5, or 2, or 1 bag servant? You're who God created you to be, and you're only going to learn the size of yourself through service. You're not going to know that ahead of time. And if you'll serve faithfully, if you'll toe the line, if you'll stand up, if you'll do things you don't think you can do, but you believe God's calling you to do, years later, you'll realize, I would have never thought God could do what he's done here. People had prophesied that, all of these things, but I was looking at me. And then I had to look at God and my wife and I, and we came here with the children, and God has done all of this. We would not have thought that was possible. You've got to escape your own thinking and be faithful towards God. But they knew he would return. Let's remember, he'd given them the promise. He said in John 14, 2 through 3, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. They knew they had responsibility and accountability came together. They knew they would be required to give an account. And let me tell you, when he returns, we'll all give an account. You can't get out of giving an account, so you might as well make it a good account. We're living in that long time period. He may come in our lifetime. He may not. And I know that doesn't sound good. But I'll tell you what, back in the 70s, we thought he was coming. Back in the 70s, the Jesus movement and all that went on then, and it was amazing. And then the charismatic movement came decade after decade. And when you read in the Bible, they thought he was coming then. Doesn't it seem like he kind of made it so that we'd all think that? Because that's healthy for us to know. He can come. Let me give you 7 quick keys to faithfulness and laziness, and I'm just going to blow right through these. But faithfulness, a good, loving spirit. Laziness loves the things of the world. Number 2, God's word rules. If you're a faithful person, his word rules. Doesn't matter what it says, doesn't matter whether you like it, not up to you. It's the truth, and it rules. And in laziness, cares of life rule, and they overrule God's word. Number 3, Christ's sacrifice is supreme. You hold that above everything else. That's what life is about, and nothing else is that high. But in laziness, self is supreme. Number 4, forgiveness for failures. People who are faithful, they know how to be forgiven. And they don't abuse that privilege, but they understand it and use it. laziness, unaddressed failings. Life is just going on, and all the debris is in the back, and nobody's paying attention. Number five, faithfulness has vision for increase. Boy, God had to really work. I wasn't a big visionary, but God kept kicking me in the back until I had to move forward. And if you got to move that way, don't be ashamed of it. Just keep moving. Just keep doing the right thing. You outlast your enemy, you win. It's just that simple. And so vision for increase, but laziness has self-preservation in mind. Number six, forward focus. People of faith are looking forward. People that are lazy are looking in a rearview mirror, negative, and allowing all of the baggage to be drug along on the trip. Number seven, biblical thought control. Church, let me tell you, if there's anything I could ask you and convince you and see you do, this has been a preservation in my life. Philippians 4, verses 7 and 8, about thought control. Biblical thought control, faithful people have, but then lazy people just have wandering thinking. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. The Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Philippi, and he says, fix your thoughts. Say it with me. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. This generation is our time to shine. This generation is our time to shine. Our servant's responsibility is to give 100%. Let me tell you, I've given 100%. I've stumbled. I've fallen. I've gotten back up. The key is getting back up. It's not about stumbling. You're going to stumble. You don't intentionally stumble. You don't make excuses to stumble. But in life, things will challenge you. But it's you stumble. You get back up and you get going again. The Bible says that a righteous person will rise up seven times. Well, seven biblically is the number of completion, perfection. And so the consequences of not using our gifts, we've read that, is that you use it or lose it. That's an adage, but it's true. Use it or lose it. They took the bag of gold from the guy that didn't use it, right? The greatest reward a believer can hear. I mean, what I want to hear, when Jesus returns, what every one of us should cherish to hear is well done. Not well intended. Come on. Not you thought about it. Not you were going to get to it. And I'm not trying to be harsh here. I'm just saying this is good stuff, but it's serious stuff. And we need to take it to heart. Well done. Man, can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face? Can you imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, well done? With a smile, Jesus, well done. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, but look out what's coming. I'm going to put you in charge. Come on in, share the master's joy. But the greatest punishment is to hear the wicked and lazy. You wicked and lazy. You knew. Church, we know. And we have gifts, and we need to use those. Jesus' promise is to us today. John 14, verses 2 through 3. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We read this a minute ago. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. If you live every day thinking, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. Wow. Preach the message on that one time. If you just meditated that Jesus is doing something for you, and you lay claim to that in your spirit, it'll change your thinking. It'll change your activity. He's coming back. But the fearful will face tragedy. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, remember that verse? Along with the unbelieving and all those others shall have their place. That's not our place. That's for someone else. Today's the time, now's the hour to choose.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.